The title is The Mind of Christ, The Mind of Christ Jesus. And that's how it reads in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 1 through 9. So on the screen, you're going to see the text. If you don't mind standing, we're going to read it, and then we'll go from there. Amen. Chapter 2 of Philippians. It says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant or more important than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And as we continue to the next section, referring to Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, that's referring to the incarnation, and being found in human form, he became a man. And it says, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, it says, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray for the sermon. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we just ask, Lord, that you help us to just take a quick look this morning at this passage of scriptures that we've read, and with the idea of having the mind of Christ, having the attitude of Christ, Lord, as Christians. There could be no greater model to follow than the one of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how he demonstrated his willingness to empty himself at Calvary's cross for our benefit. And our prayer, Lord, this morning is that we would understand this, that we would celebrate this, and that we would seek to do this as a church, bringing glory to your name, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So, I really want this church and the community that we serve to want what Jesus wants. That's my desire. And that's the whole point as a follow-up for this sermon this morning in Philippians. Paul, the writer of this epistle, he's teaching his readers, the Christian church at Philippi, about Jesus' willingness to submit himself to the plan of his Father. And the real key important thing is his willingness, and not just willingness, but to submit himself to the Father's plan. So Paul's is telling that to us in this little, these first 11 verses of chapter 2 of Philippians. He's asking us to have a single mind. And I find that interesting, having the same mind and a single mind. What does that mean? Well, we're not to be like confused about what our objective is as Christians. It's one thing, is to serve like Jesus served, to submit ourselves to God's, the Father's will, like Jesus did. And so he said it was a submitted mind, right? The single mind is a submitted mind. We surrender our thoughts. We surrender our will to that of the Father. So that's why he starts off by saying, I'll go back to verse 1, and I might be reading from a different translation that's up there, but he says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, right? Any any comfort of love, fellowship, participation is what the word means, any affection or any mercy or compassion among us, he's saying that would complete his joy as an apostle, as a pastor, as teachers, as servants of the Lord. What we want to see is all these things. We want to see people encouraged. We want people to be comforted in love. We want people to feel like they can participate because they belong and they understand why. We want affection. We want mercy. We want sympathy. Those are the things that we should shoot for. Amen. Those are not bad things. Those are things that are missing in the world. You're not going to find them in the world. Not like you find them in a church that's like-minded with Christ. Right? Let us have the mind of Christ. And he goes on to say that we would not only have the same love, as you see there in verse number 2, right? The same mind, the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. He says it again. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. In other words, don't be selfish, but be selfless. Amen? Don't be selfish, but be selfless. In other words, let's not think of ourselves. And that's what I loved about VBS. Again, everybody here probably looks at it a little bit different. I would hope that you would see it through what I'm describing now. But as a pastor, it's a miracle. It's a miracle to see this little church. It is. Believe me. I've been to big churches. It's a miracle to see all these people, all of you, just take a role or a class or some kind of assignment and just go at it. And you know, it's not perfect. Of course, it's not perfect. We're not perfect. But if we do it in love, the Lord covers for us. He makes up where we fail. Right? And it's so cool to see everybody doing something and having a good time at it. So Paul mentions that there. And then as we move on to verse 4, which I really like, he says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So we're not to look for our own interests or to be selfish. That's not easy in the flesh, right? In the flesh, we want what we want. But in the spirit, we want what God wants. And what God wants is us to think about others. And I think we did that well this week. Another way to say that is don't just look at your own needs, but look at the needs of others around you. That's something that's lacking in our society today. Looking at the needs of others around you. Get interested in others, as another way of saying it. Listen to others. Hear their stories. Now, some people, if you start listening to their stories, man, they get long, don't they? You're like, oh, you don't look at your watch while they're telling you their stories, right? Don't. Oh, God, how long is this going to last? But listen to what other people are going through. Have compassion for people. Now, there was a time, and I remember telling you, maybe on another occasion, when I was in sales, it's an interesting business, because you want to make a sale, and of course the people that are, whether they're on a car lot or whether they're buying a computer, whatever it is that they're looking for, I remember that there was a training once, and our trainer tried to help us to gain the confidence of our customers by understanding this. And I think it's what Jesus is saying, or what Paul is saying here. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Have you guys heard that before? It's like, you can have a lot of knowledge, you can have a lot of gifts, a lot of ability, but people don't really care too much about all of you until they see that you first care about them. That's the kind of church I think we should be. That's how you demonstrate the love of Christ by caring for others. Because Jesus cared for others. That's the bottom line. Let this mind be in you. That was verse 5, the last verse there. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Some translations say, let this attitude be yours, which was also Christ Jesus's. Right? So, these first 5 verses, I think we can summarize them in saying this. That the heart of Christianity, at the very heart of Christianity, is my attitude toward myself and my attitude toward others. Okay? What is my attitude that I have toward myself and what is my attitude that I have toward others? It's important. You know, and again, not to spend the whole sermon telling you guys cliches, but your altitude, how high you can rise, is determined by your attitude. I get all these from school themes, Yolanda. Some of these administrators that come in, they'll put it all over the school, or it's the theme of the year, right? But it's true. If you come in with a lousy attitude, and if you come in with a negative attitude, and all I want is what I want, and if I don't get what I want, then I'm going to be unhappy and miserable. Well, that's not real. You can't live alone. We don't live on an island, and it's impossible. God created us for each other. God created us for Him. The Bible talks about one of the reasons why we were created is being for His pleasure. He wanted to have the fellowship. He wanted to have community. He wanted to have a family. That's why He created us. So the best way to live in that context, the best way to live based on kingdom principles, is to care about other people, to be interested in other people, not just focus on ourselves. You will live a miserable life and you'll die alone. Because as the years go on, you won't have anyone in your life because you never showed interest for others, or people will finally say, because of our selfishness or our egos, people don't want to be around us. Right? I know people like that. They don't have anybody. They've mistreated people so much that there's no one in their life, and they spend a whole life like that. But our calling, our objective, the will of the Father is, as we see here, have the mind of among yourselves which was in Christ. What kind of mind was that? Well, let's look at the next passage. It says in verse number 6, referring to Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not, or didn't count it, equality of a thing to be grasped or not let go of. Let me talk about that for a second. This idea that he was in the form of God, Jesus, is telling us that he was God. He was in heaven. He had always been in heaven. But what he did in the incarnation is he took upon himself a body of human flesh. And he came and dwelt among us so that he could have community with us, so that he could speak to us the will of the Father and accomplish the task that he was sent for, which was to die for our sins. So he had to become a man. God himself understands us because he lived in a human body. He lived on this earth. He experienced all the things that we experience. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to be beaten. He knows what it feels like to be hated. And he also knows what it feels like to be loved. And he knows what joy is. And he knows what it is to have community and fellowship. Amen? So he thought it not robbery, or he didn't count it like unfair that he would surrender his divine prerogatives, being God in heaven, and he became a servant. Became a man and became a servant. Some people have a hard idea with this. What it means is he didn't try to grasp, or he didn't find it a problem to let go of his place in heaven and become a servant here on earth. He didn't consider that unfair. So what Paul's asking us to do, and what I think we're striving for as Christians when we do an event like VBS or whatever we do, is that we're to understand that we're here to do the Father's will, whatever that means. Amen? So I saw people out there and moving tables and heavy tables and chairs and setting up the water slide and out in the sun. And why would anybody do that? For love. To serve. So those little kids out there, they don't know who put up the tent. They could care less. Security walking around. Right? Or sitting around, from what I saw, with an umbrella. Right? Hey, security's still there. Long hours. Right? Ramiro doesn't know anything about that. I heard that you had an umbrella and a nice chair and cold lemonade or something out there. That's a good way to do security. Why would anybody do that? Because we're here to show the love of Christ. We can't have an event without someone watching our back, without someone looking around, making sure nothing's weird or unusual or unsafe, or someone comes on the campus, right? Then there are those ladies that were just slaving away in the kitchen. I mean, it's hot in there because our air conditioner is not an air conditioner. Right? And so they're out there working in the kitchen and bringing food out to the tables for the kids because they're hungry. And wow, all that work, and there's ices and popcorn. And hey, why am I saying all this? Because it just doesn't happen by itself. It doesn't happen by itself. But this little church, so this is really kind of your pastor telling you, hey, I love what I see here. I love the fruit that I see here. We're small, but that's a great accomplishment for the glory of God, that we could pull something off as small as we are. You know, I've had the privilege of working at the Harvest Crusade, and that's a huge endeavor to pull off also. And I've been at big churches, and a lot of times when they don't have someone that's willing to serve, they'll hire someone. Sometimes, I mean, those big fancy praise groups that you see sometimes in those big churches, that's their ministry. They get paid to do that. But here, we're simply offering our talent, our time, because we love Jesus and we love serving his community. That's it. It's a big difference. Amen? So it says here that in verse 7, he emptied himself. And I think that's a key verse. And a key thought and a concept I think that we should look at for a minute. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. So, just a moment. And today's sermon is going to probably be not as long as normal. So I want to... Well, maybe, I don't know. We see that Jesus made himself empty. He emptied himself. He took these steps downwards. This is the passage that in the world of theologians and schools of theology, there's a word in the Greek called kenosis. You may have heard it, you may not have. It doesn't really matter. But it's an important verse because he starts with God, he's equal with God, yet he voluntarily empties himself, and he came to this earth in the form of a servant, the whole Christmas story, right? And then he made himself like men, and then becoming a man, even though he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is a servant. I didn't come to be served, he said, but I came to serve. So, we see that the distance that he traveled in emptying himself could never even, in our wildest imaginations, be measured. How do you put a number on how far he went from his divine position in heaven to a human baby that's completely vulnerable and helpless in the arms of his mother Mary, and then to become a servant. How do we measure how much he was willing to surrender and submit himself? We can't. But that distance that he's willing to travel so that he can meet our needs because he was interested in our salvation, we need to understand that that's a great love demonstrated by this whole plan of salvation. It's really amazing when you think about it. When the time came, he literally just stepped up from his throne. He set aside his privileges as God, and he took on a status of a slave. That change, that transformation is like I said, it's hard to imagine it. He became a human. Everything that Jesus did while he was on earth, all of his miracles, his ministry, all the prayers that he prayed, all the teachings that he taught, the lessons that he taught, they weren't done in his power. He was completely dependent on the Father. He had kind of, like I said, it's like if he took his divinity and he set it on a shelf. It's still there. He's still God, but he wasn't going to use any of those powers. He depended on, and that's why we see him praying so much and talking to the Father so much. In John 5:30, he says, "Of my own self, I can do nothing." And it's true of us. We can't do anything without God. And another thing that we see here, he wasn't so concerned about having a program or having this really amazing agenda, or he simply came and served. And so that's the mind that we're to have. And that's what I saw this week when we were out here during VBS. And I can say it is a great blessing to be part of Crosspoint Community Church. Let's keep growing. Let's keep serving. Let's keep expecting God to do great things. Amen? Because he's looking for those that have that attitude of Christ. Not too many people do. Not too many people, or even churches or Christians, a lot of times they forget that our goal is to be a servant, to serve others for the sake of Christ. I found this one thing in a commentary and I liked it, so I wrote it down. Let me read it to you. How do you know if you're a servant? Here it goes. Well, this commentary says, there's a simple test. You know you're a servant by how you react when people treat you like one. Well, who does he think he is telling me what to do? Or why am I carrying these tables? Or how come no one ever recognizes me? Maybe the person mopping the bathroom after it's spilled over. Or the kids got it all wet because they went to the wrong place to change. How do you know you really are a servant? When it's determined by how you react when people treat you like one. I never forgot, and you may know of Chuck Smith. Chuck Smith was a pastor of Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel is a very big organization now, but it started in Costa Mesa, literally in a tent. He had these tent revivals. And of course, it was in the 60s, and that there was a movement. It's called the Jesus Movement, where all the hippies came to Christ out of that, you know, that era of the Vietnam War and drugs and sex and rock and roll. But there were these kids who were still empty in their hearts in spite of all the supposed freedom they had to do whatever they want. And they started coming into his church. And what I remember about Chuck Smith is that he would say, because they would come in from the beach some of the other like deacons or leaders of the church were concerned because they came in with dirty feet and they had just put in a new carpet. You know, you got a beautiful new sanctuary, you put in a new carpet, and they're kind of concerned. And he said, well, then, what should we do? Should we keep telling them they can't come in or wash their feet? He said, no, let's rip out the carpet. The carpet is not important. The people are. Isn't that amazing? I always found that to be a really cool story. Yeah, you know you're a servant by the way you react when people treat you like one. He also mentioned that he, back in the day, those are kids that are coming from, they're not coming from Christian homes, they're not coming from much of a background of knowing good from wrong, and so a lot of them would come to church and they'd smoking. They were smoking outside. I'm not saying anything about smoking is bad. I'm going to leave that alone. We all know the answer to that. And it, a lot of times they would just put out their cigarettes on the sidewalk, and then, you know, people just make sure they're all, you know, they're step on them so they're extinguished. And then they would come into the church and they'd start singing. And he said, you know what I did? I went outside with a broom. And I swept them all up and threw them in the trash. The pastor. I always thought that was cool. No, I mean, pastor shouldn't feel like he can't pick up trash or go clean a toilet. Right? We're here to serve. And so, if they were to say to me, hey, are you the janitor here? I shouldn't feel bad. I'd say, yeah. I am. You guys understanding what I'm saying? Serving. So he was found in a form of man, looking back at verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Wow. Talk about submission and talking about humility. This is the Lord of life. He said, I am the life. I am the resurrection. And he takes on death. He creates, he is life, and yet he goes to the deepest opposite direction of life, which is death. And why would he do such a thing? So that he could pay for our sins. That's how much he loved us. The author of life takes on the opposite of life, experiences death. Something God probably knew nothing about and as far as experience go, but because he became a man, because he came into this fallen world, he experienced death. But then we know the rest of the story, don't we? That he rose from the dead, justifying what he did for us. And we know that after he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. And we know that when he ascended into heaven, the angel said, hey, what are you looking at into the clouds for? This same Jesus who ascended into heaven is going to come again the same way. So we have something to be hopeful for. In the meantime, let's serve and let's keep serving. Amen? So it's a tremendous sacrifice that Jesus offered us when he went to that cruel Roman cross there described in verse number 8. Hanging there, listening to the jeers and being mocked and the angry crowd, despised and rejected and betrayed. He went from the highest height to the lowest low, surrounded on those cross by two other men that were actual criminals, murderers. Here's where he found himself. Who does that? Only Jesus, motivated by love. Who can serve and how can we be a light in this community? Only because of our motivation of love that we have from Christ, from the example that he's given us. It's not possible to do it any other way. Because if you do it in the flesh, half the time what you want to do is slap somebody, you know, or tell them off. But we don't, because we submit ourselves to the will of God and we're motivated by his love. So let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's the theme. That's what my prayer is for Crosspoint. I am so happy to say that that's what I see. No, we're not perfect, but perfection is not a Christian doctrine. You know that perfection is actually a message from our enemy? He would love for us to think that perfection was the standard, because then he could divide us, because we're not, and he knows that. No, our standard is grace and mercy and love. And that's what allows us to serve. So I thought this week was wonderful. I think it was a success. I thank God for all of you. I thank God for the opportunity for us to reach this community. You know, there's a lot of kids here that don't have a church home. A lot of kids that came from the neighborhood that don't probably never even really heard much about Jesus. But guess what? Those that came this week have. And that's our job. That's our responsibility, to plant the seed and let God work out the rest of the details. So what a privilege to serve him. Amen. And what a privilege for me to be your pastor. I'm so happy about Cross Point Community Church. Let's keep growing. Let's keep moving forward for all for the Lord and for his honor and glory. Amen. So let's do this. Let's pray. And then we're going to wrap this up. And then we'll take our offering, and Cassandra will come and close with a song. Amen. I think we did pretty good, a little bit early, but hey, we all had a busy week. So let's bow our head. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful week of EBS. Everyone that served, everyone that had the mind of Christ, everyone who understood why, and motivated by love and motivated by your grace and mercy. We all have been touched by Jesus. And now, Lord, we want to touch others for your sake. Thank you, Lord, for giving me strength this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us strength this week. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.